Okay, so the title of this is Could've, Should've, Would've. Now I'm going to do something that I've never done before. We're going to start off with the last slide. So hopefully what you see here is where we're going to end up with these three questions. Could I do this for God? Have you got the ability to do what's required? Should you do it? Are you the right person for the job? And would you do it? Will you step out and do what God is calling you to do? Now, we sang earlier, all my life I'll live for you. Do the things you want me to. It's not the things that we want to do. It's the things that God is calling us to do. So today, we're going to look at God's encounter with the burning bush, with Moses, sorry, at the burning bush. And we're going to see how God's timing is perfect. We're going to see how God's presence, which is far stronger than the circumstances we're facing, is promised for everything that we face now and in the future. Then we're going to look in depth at the five excuses that Moses made when God faced him at the burning bush, when he heard what God wanted him to do. And we're going to discover that God's adequacy is greater than any excuses that we can bring before him. And we'll discover how God never gives up on us despite the excuses we make. And finally, we will learn that in obedience to God's call, God fulfills his calling on our lives. Firstly, though, we're going to listen in to a conversation between Moses and God, and we're going to see some of the struggles that Moses was facing and how God answered him. Moses was out looking after some sheep, and after a while, he ended up near a hill. He was just talking to the sheep, like he always did when there was no one else to talk to, when he noticed that a bush was on fire. Moses sat and watched it for a little while because something wasn't right. The bush was completely on fire, but it wasn't burning up. There was no smoke, just fire. So Moses decided to get a little bit closer and take a better look. But as he approached the bush, a voice came from the inside of it.
Moses. Moses.
I am here.
Don't come any closer. Take off your sandals because you're in the presence of God. I'm the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. I've seen all the pain my people have had to go through in Egypt. I've heard their prayers and want to save them from their slavery. I want to take them to another place where there is lots of good land and plenty of milk and honey. So Moses, I am sending you to free the Israelites from Pharaoh.
Pardon me, God, but I think you're talking to the wrong person. This is just me, Moses. I'm just a regular guy. Pharaoh won't listen to me.
I will be with you and will help you.
What if they ask who sent me? What should I tell them?
I am who I am, so go to the Israelites and tell them I have sent you, and I have heard their prayers, and will send them to a better place. Don't worry, they will listen to you, but be patient, because Pharaoh won't listen until he sees many signs and is punished. But after that, he will let you go.
God, what if the Israelites don't believe me? What if they say, I think you're lying? God didn't talk to you.
Throw your staff on the ground.
Moses did as he was told, and his staff became a snake right before his eyes.
No, pick it up by the tail.
Well, Moses didn't really like snakes, but he quickly grabbed it by the tail, and it turned from a limp snake to his smooth wooden staff right in his hand.
When this happens, the Israelites will believe that the Lord appeared to you. I am the God of their ancestors. I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Now put your hand inside your coat.
So Moses put his hand inside his coat, and when he took his hand out, it was white with a harmful skin disease.
Now put your hand inside your coat again.
So Moses put his hand inside his coat again, and when he took it out, his hand was healthy, just like the rest of his skin.
The people may not believe you just by seeing the first miracle. They may believe you when you show them the second miracle. And after these two miracles, they still may not believe or listen to you. Then take some water from the Nile River and pour it on the ground. The water will become blood when it touches the ground.
But Lord, I've never been able to speak well. And now, even after talking to you, I am not a good speaker. I speak slowly and can't find the best words.
Moses, it is I, the Lord. Now go. I will help you speak. I will tell you what to say.
Please, Lord, send someone else.
I will send your brother Aaron. In fact, he's already on his way to see you. I will help both of you and give you the words to say.
After that, the bush stopped burning and God was gone. So Moses put his sandals back on and made sure to take his staff of God, went to get his wife and children, and went to free the Israelites. Amen. To understand where Moses was at, we need to go back and lay the story out. Moses knew way back when he was living in Egypt that he was to deliver the Israelites from the Egyptians. But he wanted to do it in his own way and in his own timing. And the result was failure. While in Egypt, he'd intervened in a situation in his own strength and he'd killed a man. Then he ran away from his responsibilities and disappeared into the desert to take up a nomadic lifestyle. After 40 years in the desert, removed from any notion of being able to help the Israelites, he was in for a big surprise. God appeared to him and told him that he was going to send him back to free the Israelites. It was now time for Moses to carry out God's plan. God had prepared him and worked in his life during the years in Egypt and in the desert. But by now, Moses probably had given up all hope of being used by God. But what we need to remember is God's timetable is different from ours. When we look at Moses at age 80, because that's the age he was when God called him, he was not quite so eager as he had been at 40. Solitude had sobered him. Keeping sheep had tamed him. He saw difficulties in himself, in the people, and in his task. He'd already tried once and he'd failed. And now for long years, he'd been out of touch with his people. But while all this is true, it was God who now called him to his work. And God doesn't make mistakes. Years in the desert had passed, but they weren't wasted years. Moses may have felt that he would spend the rest of his life in that desert and that God was finished with him. But God knew when Moses would be ready to carry out his task. And he appeared to him when he least expected it. And so God appeared to Moses and caught his attention through a burning bush. Moses was 80, as we found out, at this step of his journey. But the journey began 40 years earlier. God's timing, however, is perfect. And it was now the right time to continue the story. Is God standing before you with a plan that he wants you to be a part of? Are you open to hearing what God is saying to you? Are you willing to step out in faith and follow God regardless of what he's asking you to do? Do you feel as if you're too old or too young? You know, age doesn't matter. It's when God says you're ready that matters. Listen carefully to God's voice as we continue to learn from this story. Now, there are several reasons why God revealed himself to Moses out of a burning bush. Firstly, it was to show an image of his holiness. Holiness involves separation, and this is further evidenced when he asks Moses to take off his sandals, because he explains to him that the ground is holy. God here was emphasizing to Moses that there was a gap between the divine and the human, and Moses was not allowed to come any closer to him. In Hosea 11, verse 9, it says, "I am God and not man, the Holy One among you." Secondly, God revealed himself to Moses out of the burning bush as an image of his glory. This would stand as a stark reminder, a visible reminder to Moses and his people during the dark times ahead that they would face. Because Moses saw God through a burning bush, he would be ready to help the people face the pillar of fire that they would experience when traveling through the desert. And he would then be able to help the Israelites respond to God's glory in this way, because he'd already experienced it once. God knew that Moses was the man he wanted to deliver the Israelites. And now he had to show Moses that with his help and his presence, he could actually do it. He showed Moses his holiness and his glory to help him realize that his presence was stronger than the circumstances that he would face. As we delve further into this story today, I want you to think through your own lives and see if there are any ways in which you relate to Moses. But you need to be honest in concerning your feelings about where God has you in life. Do you fully trust that God is leading you? And are you where he wants you to be? God knows exactly why he's chosen each of you to carry out his purposes. All he asks of you is to trust and to obediently follow. When God faces you to give you direction and a purpose, you're standing on that holy ground that Moses stood on. So when you do, do you recognize that God's presence is stronger than your circumstances? Don't let past failures or fear of the future render you useless to the Lord. Excuses. We all have them, and we all use them at some point in our lives. I know when I'm asked to do something that I feel totally inadequate for, it's amazing how many excuses I can come up with for why I don't want to do it. And Moses was no exception. He wasn't eager to get back into a place of leadership because all he could remember was the fact that he'd failed once. And he probably felt that he would fail again. Moses was hesitant to follow God's calling. Yet God encouraged him through each of the excuses that he made. As we look at Moses' reasons for not wanting to follow God's call in his life, I want you to look carefully and see if you can identify with some of these reasons. As many of us do, Moses had many excuses about why he didn't want to do what God was calling him to. First of all, he said, "Who am I?" Second, he pleaded lack of knowledge and that he didn't know God's name or even what to tell the Israelites. Thirdly, he didn't believe he had the power to fulfill the calling that God gave him. His fourth excuse was that his speaking was not very good. But his final excuse was the one that really bothered him. He actually didn't want to do it. So what we're going to do now is we're going to look at these excuses one by one and just see how God responds to him. Now, the five excuses are up there on the screen, and that will stay on while we're going through all of them. And it's got the biblical references up there as well, so that when you go home, you can go back and you can look through them. And you can just come before God again and maybe work things out, that some of the things that you're going through. So his first excuse, "I'm not qualified to fulfill my calling." And in Exodus 3:11, Moses protested to God, "Who am I to appear before Pharaoh? Who am I to lead the people of Israel out of Egypt?" So what does God do? He encourages him that he's going to be with him. God answered, "I will be with you, and this is your sign that I am the one who has sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God at this very mountain." This was so comforting because Moses then knew that he wasn't going to go through this on his own, that God was going to be there every step of the way and would accompany him. And that is still God's promise to us today. And I imagine that the apostles would have felt just as scared when Jesus told them to go out and to preach the gospel. "Who am I that I should go?" If so, their hearts were reassured with the same promise that Moses had. "Lo, I am with you always." And so if the Lord's calling you to some particular task that you feel insufficient for, remember this promise: "I am with you always." Not just when I feel like it, not just maybe today, but maybe not tomorrow. Always encompasses every second of every day. We don't go through anything on our own. So Moses' second excuse: "I lack knowledge to fulfill my calling." Moses protested, "If I go to the people of Israel and tell them the God of your ancestors has sent me to you, they will ask me, 'What is his name?' Then what should I tell them?" Now let's not be too quick to condemn Moses here, for God didn't. This was no small difficulty for Moses. He'd been in Egypt, he'd come out, and he knew what he would face when he went back. But God promised, "I am who I am. Say this to the people of Israel: I am has sent me to you." By identifying himself as I am, God is declaring that he always exists in the immediate now. He isn't bound by time like we are. There was never a time when God wasn't. He has no fixed point when he was born or brought into being. He has no beginning and no end. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. But he also said, say this to the people of Israel, Yahweh, the God of your ancestors, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my eternal name, my name to remember for all generations. And here was something that the Israelites would know when Moses said that to them, that God, the God of their ancestors, was a God of unconditional promise. He had pledged them in the past to give them and their offspring the land of Canaan for their inheritance, and they would know that. They would know that the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob was a covenant-keeping God. Because with Abraham, God entered into a covenant, and with Isaac and Jacob, he confirmed it. And today, God has the same message for us. God is sending us out into the world, but we have an advantage over Moses in that we have the Holy Spirit living within us. After Pentecost, the Spirit came and rested upon the apostles and gave them the knowledge needed to fulfill their task. The knowledge you need to fulfill your task is yours already, for the power of the Holy Spirit is within you. God is not only with you, he's in you, and therefore you have everything you need. And so we come to excuse number three. I do not believe I can fulfill my calling. Moses didn't believe that he could actually persuade the Israelites that God had appeared to him. The Lord had emphatically declared, the elders of Israel will accept your message. And we find that in chapter 3, verse 18. And now Moses is saying, they won't. Here was the servant daring to contradict his Lord. Moses was timid, hesitant, fearful, rebellious, and yet God used him. If God were to wait until he found a human instrument that was worthy or fit to be used by him, he would go on waiting until the end of time. God is sovereign. And the truth is, God uses who he pleases. God's chosen you. Dare you contradict him? Excuse number four. This is not my calling. Moses' fourth excuse to God was that his speaking and leadership abilities were lacking. Leading the people of Israel could not be his calling because he was not eloquent of speech. Moses pleaded with the Lord, Lord, I'm not very good with words. I've never been, and I'm not now, even though you've spoken to me. I get tongue-tied, and my words get tangled. I guess we can all relate to that. But God says, I will be your mouth. And I will teach you what to say. God promises to take care of Moses' inadequacies in public speaking. And he promises to coach him in what to say. But still Moses tries to wriggle out of the call. What's your response today to what God is calling you to do? Listen to these words. Standing on the promises, I shall not fall. Listening every moment to the Spirit's call. Resting in my Saviour as my all in all. Standing on the promises of God. It's easy to sing these words, but when the pressure comes, do we stand on the promises that God has given us? Do we trust that He will really provide the words in every situation that we face? And do we really listen every moment to that inner voice of the Spirit when He calls us, when He guides us, and when He leads us? And so we come on to our final excuse. I don't want to fulfill my calling. Moses basically asked God if someone else could go and do it. How frustrated do you think God must have felt? In spite of this, God provides a second way to convince Moses to take the assignment. He sends his brother Aaron, who will accompany him and be the spokesperson for him. When we look at Moses' audacity in resisting God, I'm amazed at God's grace in spite of his anger. God's not rigid. He's willing to work with us, and he will find ways to help us in our weaknesses so that he can use the strengths that he's given us. Feeling inadequate is not necessarily a weakness. If we turn our attention and focus on God instead of on ourselves, it can actually be a strength. When I'm feeling inadequate, I know that I have to depend on the Lord. There is no other option other than failure. When I'm feeling inadequate, and strong, when I'm feeling adequate and strong in my own abilities, I'm tempted to draw from my own strength and not from God. I personally don't like feeling inadequate, but that's when I see God working in my life in a special way. It's a good place to be, even though it may not feel that way at the time. God is sufficient for us in every situation that we find ourselves in, and that will never change. If God leads you to do something, he will always enable you to accomplish it. God knows us better than we know ourselves. He knows how he wants to use us. But we have to be willing to put aside our fears, our inadequacies, and our excuses, and follow his leading. Is there an area that God is leading you in, but you've been hesitant to step out in faith? What's your biggest fear? And how do you see yourself? Maybe you need to take some time and be honest with God about your fears and your hesitations. God had given Moses his mission. Moses had given God his objections. Yet God was not swayed or convinced to look elsewhere. He knew that Moses was the right man in spite of his weaknesses and his fears and his past failures. Now, I'm really thankful that God doesn't put us on the shelf when we make mistakes. In 1982, I left the International Training College as a fully commissioned Salvation Army officer. But only 6 months later, I found myself back at home, wondering what had gone wrong, where I'd failed. I wondered if I'd even heard God right in the first place. I felt like my life was in tatters at that point, and I fled into my wilderness, just like Moses, and I tried to put the past behind me. But God has a way of catching up with us. And here I am, nearly 35 years later, with a new preaching ministry. but I need to discover what I learnt from my desert experience. When God calls us in obedience to step out, we do feel inadequate. We think of all the reasons why we're not the best person. Yet God wants us to come to that place where we know our adequacy comes from Him and not ourselves. It took me a long time to learn that. But what I do know is that just like Moses, God's not finished with me yet. Only God knows what He has in store. My job is just to be obedient every time He calls. There is no better place than being in the centre of God's will. I'd like to read you a story from a lady called Cricket Keith, who focuses on women's ministry from Dallas Theological Seminary. And this is what she says. When God first called me to Asia, I was working on staff with Campus Crusade for Christ in Kentucky. I had to make a decision about whether I would follow His call, and it wasn't an easy decision. Lord, I'll follow You anywhere, but it would devastate my mum if I moved to the other side of the world for 4 years. Lord, I'll follow You anywhere, but ministry's going so well here. Maybe we could wait until I've finished what I'm doing here. Lord, I'm not married yet, and if I move to Asia, perhaps I'll never marry. Maybe it would be better if I got married first. Then we could go overseas and serve You together. I came up with some good reasons for not going, but I knew that if I didn't follow His calling, I would be settling for less than God's best for my life. I had committed my life to follow Him, and yet here I was, hesitant to follow Him into the unknown. I finally let go of my excuses and made the decision to move forward in the direction He was calling me. Yes, it was hard leaving family, friends, ministry, and the comforts of home. It was even hard for me to leave my cat. However, God provided new friends, new family, and grace to adopt a new way of living. I wouldn't trade anything for those 4 years in Asia. Being in the centre of God's will, regardless of where that may be, is far better than settling for the comfortable and familiar and being outside of His will. God never promised that following Him would be easy, but He did promise that He would always be with us. He promised that His grace and His strength would be ours wholeheartedly. Will you obey His leading? Will you submit to His will even before you know what lies ahead? Ask God to search your heart today. Are you willing to obey even if you're feeling fearful or inadequate? Go before God with your honest feelings. We've already seen how He encouraged Moses. He'll do no less for you. Moses felt inadequate to deliver God's people. He tried once and failed. Why would this time be any different? He pleads his case before God, but God doesn't give in to Moses. And now Moses is ready from God's perspective. He knows he's inadequate in his own strength. He knows that alone he can't carry out God's purpose. And that's exactly where God wanted him. dependent on him alone. If you read the rest of the story, you'll see how Moses realized his potential, reached out in faith, and fulfilled God's purposes, despite his age, and despite making many more mistakes along the way. God used him, and he'll use you too, if you let him. And so we're back to where we started. Could you do something for God? Can you do what he's asking you to do? Should you do it? Are you the right person for the job? And would you do it? Will you step out and do what God's calling you to do? Now, I realise that there have been lots of questions this morning, and maybe you'll need to take them away and spend some time quietly before God, discussing what he has in line for you. What are you afraid of? Lay all your excuses aside. Trust God. He knows what he's doing, and he'll never lead you into anything where you'll be on your own. But there's one final point that I want to leave with you, and it's this. You regret the things you don't do. I have two quotes that I'd like you to consider. The first one is, be bold and courageous. When you look back on your life, you'll regret the things you didn't do more than the ones you did. And the second one, you'll seldom experience regret for anything that you've done. It's what you haven't done that will torment you. The message, therefore, is clear. Do it.
I think it's really significant that Christine has shared from this scripture. And I really want to encourage us to really think about the word that Christine's brought. It's not that I'm suggesting that all the other words people have brought over, they're not important, just this. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is this, that literally at the last minute before I preached, before New Wine, God gave me a word about Moses and the burning bush and Moses arguing the toss with God. And I shared that literally the Sunday before we went to New Wine. And then we went to New Wine and Danielle Strickland was speaking from this very story and the journey of Moses and the Israelites. And I'd already asked before we went to New Wine, I'd already asked Christine to shuffle things around because she'd kind of got this word thinking, well, I'll share this in November when everybody's away. And I said, no, you need to share it. This is before we went to New Wine, wasn't it? So I kind of get the impression, and men usually need to be hit with a hammer to try and get these things because we don't have the same instincts as girls. But I kind of get the impression that God wants us to listen and pay attention to this scripture and the challenge that is laid in front of us, and we need to go to God personally and as a church, and we need to say, God, what is it you are asking me to do? Am I resisting? Am I making excuses? Am I putting my hands in front of my ears? I think there's something here for us individually, and I think there's something here for us as a church, and God is challenging us. And so I really want us to encourage, because of the way this has kind of all come out, week after week, you can't ignore these things. I feel God really wants us to take note and go back to him and say, God, are you speaking to me personally? Are you speaking to us as a church? And then really kind of go through the process that Moses went through and come out the other end. I love those two quotes at the end. Do it. Brilliant.